الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شعبان شهري وشهر الله المحرم او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and my young friends and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allama Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala in Zadul Ma'ad and Allama Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi alayh in Taqrir Bukhari and also Allama Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullahi alayh, they say that in our Sharia there are virtues for makan and zaman. There are virtues for places, and there are also virtues for specific times, days, months. This is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma would say that if you perform one good deed in Haram, and you perform one good deed in your own locality, there is a huge difference between the two. This is the reason why Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala never used to stay in the place of Haram more than 2 weeks. Because just as a person carrying out a good deed and performing a good action will bring him reward in abundance, similarly, if a person was to commit a sin, then this will bring a punishment of Allah or a sin in abundance. If you commit one sin outside Haram and you commit one sin in Haram, there is a huge difference. You get much more sin for performing a bad deed in Haram than performing a bad deed outside Haram. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was so particular when it comes to the land of Haram that when he would go for Umrah and Hajj, he would not even reprimand his khadim and his servant. Because he used to be fearful that even this may be considered a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Places, they have virtue. Times, they also have virtue. The month that we are going through at this moment in time is the month of Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that Shahrullah al-Muharram, this month of Muharram is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are numerous virtues mentioned with regards to the month of Muharram, but I feel that this one virtue is sufficient to outline the virtue of this great month of Muharram. That this month has been attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that when something is attributed towards something great, that thing, that item, that person also becomes great. I have given this example before as well, that you have a t-shirt, normal t-shirt might cost you $5. But this same t-shirt has a name at the back. Then this t-shirt will cost you a lot more than $5. Why? Because now this t-shirt is attributed to someone who is extremely famous in the world. Similarly, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ka'batullah, is just a normal house, is just a block. It does not have so much gold on top of it, or it does not have so many diamonds on top of it, but it's so precious in the eyes of the believers that we feel as if there is a magnet that has been placed in the Ka'batullah Sharif, which is pulling the hearts of the people towards it. Why? Because this block has been attributed to Allah. It's not a normal bayt. It's baytullah. It's the house of Allah. It's not a normal house. It's a house of Allah. It's not a normal Kaaba. It's Ka'batullah. When something is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, greatness, its value and virtue, merit increases. This month of Muharram has been attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shahrullahil Muharram. Shahrullahil Muharram. This is the first month in the lunar calendar. My brothers and sisters, we need to know the Islamic date as well. Many of us are oblivious when it comes to knowing the Islamic date. We all know the English date. Even if you were to ask a small child who is maybe 7-8 years old, he will know this English date. But Islamic date, many scholars are unaware of it. This is our ghafla and negligence towards the Islamic date, Islamic calendar. Whereas it's so important to know the months in the Islamic calendar. It's so important to know the dates in the Islamic calendar, because all our ahkam and masail are based on Islamic dates, not on the English dates. For example, the masail of zakat, that when a person becomes a sahib-e-nisab, then 1 year has to pass in order for that person to become liable to discharge his zakat. This 1 year is calculated not through the English calendar, Islamic calendar. Similarly, when you give talaq to your wife, she has to go through iddah. Iddah is counted through Islamic calendar, not through English calendar. So many ahkam, they're based on Islamic calendar. This is why the ulama write that if one locality is such that there is not a single person who is aware of the Islamic date, then the entire Muslim community will become sinful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have at least one person to know the Islamic date. This is to show the importance that we have to know the Islamic date. How did this Islamic calendar start? Until 17th year after Hijrah, there was no Islamic calendar. In the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he sent Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to Yemen as a governor, and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to write letters to him. In these letters, many messages used to be passed on from Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But obviously, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the mail service had just started. It was in the initial stages. So it was not so accurate. Sometimes a person has to give one command and then he has to change his command to something else. When he sends one letter, he says that you need to do this. Then he sends another letter saying you don't need to do this anymore. But sometimes the second letter which would reach Abu Musa al-Ash'ari first, and the first letter which would reach afterwards. So he could not understand which command was first and which command was second. So he wrote a letter to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that I receive your letters, but it's not dated. It would be so nice if we can come up with an Islamic calendar so you can write an Islamic date so I can follow your commands properly. So when this letter reached Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he gathered all the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. These people, my brothers, they were so down to earth, they had the passion to listen to others. Even though he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had all powers, but they had the jazba and the passion to listen to others. Unfortunately, we have lost this passion of listening to others. This is why Junaid Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, very, very pious saint, he used to have his khanqa and many disciples would come and stay in his company for the rectification of a person's inner heart. So one person stayed in his company for 30 years. After spending 30 years in the company of Junaid Baghdadi, he's leaving this khanqa, so he requested his Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi, can you give me a short advice? So I can go back to my locality and hold firm to these advices and I can stay firm on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become successful. Junaid Baghdadi said to this disciple that kabhi khudai ka dawa mat karna, kabhi nubuwat ka dawa mat karna. Kabhi khudai ka dawa mat karna, kabhi nubuwat ka dawa mat karna. Never claim to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never claim to be a prophet of Allah. This disciple was astonished to hear these words from Junaid Baghdadi. He said to him, the Shaykh, I stayed in your company for 30 years. Do you think that I will go back to my locality and say to people that I am Allah or I am the Prophet of Allah? He says that you have not understood the meaning of Allah and the Messenger of Allah. What I mean is that don't claim to be Allah, because Allah is the only one that can say that in this world, things will happen according to my will and my desire. Nobody else has any say to it. This is what I mean, that when you go back to your locality, don't have that approach. When you do work of da'wah in people, that it has to be according to my wish. If anybody else says something, I'm not going to listen to it. My opinion is the best opinion in every matter. Kabhi khudai ka dawa mat karna. Aur nubuwat ka dawa mat karna. That means that don't claim to be a prophet, meaning prophet can never be wrong. Because whatever prophet says, whatever prophet does, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he says is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he does becomes sharia. Something that happens in front of him and he stays quiet, it becomes sharia, it becomes legislation. This is a prophet. When you go back to your locality, when you make a mistake, admit your mistake. Don't say to people that I have such characteristics that I can never make any mistake. We need to create this jazbah and passion of listening to others. Then only we can become a good community. Then only we can become successful in this world. This is what Umar ibn al-Khattab did. He used to listen. When Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote to him, he gathered the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He did mashwara with them. That what should we do? We should start an Islamic calendar. But is there an event that comes to your mind which can be classified as the beginning point for the Islamic calendar? Different companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum give different opinions. Some said that the best day for a believer is that day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world. So the day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, 12th of Rabiul Awal, this should be the beginning point of Islamic calendar. Some said that the saddest day in the history of Islam is the day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. This should be the beginning point. Some said that the greatest event that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the event of Mi'raj, Isra and Mi'raj. This should be the beginning point. Some said when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received prophethood, this should be the beginning point. And some companions, they gave other opinions, but Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a person of very, very farsightedness. He said, no, we should not do something which is connected to only one individual and one personality. We should come up with something which is connected to the entire Muslim community as a whole, at large. And that event is the event of Hijrah, migration. Because not only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from Makkah to Medina, other companions, many other companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, also migrated from Makkah to Madinatul Munawwara. So let us keep the hijrah and the migration to be the beginning point of Islamic calendar. This is why the Islamic calendar begins from Muharram. Now the question is that hijrah took place in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. The hijrah took place in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Why do we start Islamic calendar from Muharram? The answer is that hijrah took place in the middle of Dhul-Hijjah. And the first moon sighted after Dhul-Hijjah was Muharram. This is why we start Islamic calendar from Muharram. And this happened in the 17th year after hijrah. Until then, there was no Islamic calendar. The Muslims used to say that this event happened in years so and so. For example, the Amul Fil, when Abraha tried to attack the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was destroyed by Allah. This year was known as Amul Fil. When something would happen 1, 2, 3, 4 years after that or before that, people used to say that this event took place 3 years after Amul Fil. This event took place 1 year prior to the event of the year of Amul Fil. This is how they used to work. But in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Islamic calendar started. And now, alhamdulillah, many, many years have passed, approximately 1440 years, and alhamdulillah, the Islamic calendar is intact. The 12 months was there from before in Lawh al-Mahfuz, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. In Lawh al-Mahfuz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had 12 months in a year written in Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. But specific months and the sequence and the tartib of these months came later on. So this is the short history of Islamic calendar. But this is the month of Muharram. And this is the Islamic year. Now, the most important thing is, what lesson can we take from the year that ends and the year that begins? Because a year has ended, another year has begun, Islamically. So let me go through a few points very, very quickly. Number one, migration. First thing is migration. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum migrated from Makkah to Medina. And the place and the land of Makkah was the most beloved land to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why when companions used to go to Yemen and Syria, as soon as their things were done, they would return back to Makkah Mukarramah. Because they had so much attachment with their local place, their local city, Makkah Mukarramah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving for Madinatul Munawwara, when he came to the border of Makkah Mukarramah, he turned back to Makkah. And he addressed Makkah, "O Makkah, O Makkah, you are the most beloved land to me on the surface of this earth. If my people had not driven me out of Makkah, I would have never left you." And as he was saying this, the tears were flowing from the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because it was the command of Allah that you need to leave your local place, you need to leave your family if you have to, you have to leave your wealth, and you have to leave all your relatives, you have to leave everything behind and go to Madinatul Munawwara. And go and practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its entirety. This was the command of Allah. They left everything. Now, my brothers, there is no need for us to migrate from this country to another country. Because the reality is that there are very few countries around the world which can give you safety like this country is giving you. Very few countries around the world. Even the so-called Islamic countries cannot give you that same safety. But despite that, if somebody wants to go and make hijrah and migration, he can make hijrah. But if somebody decides to stay in this country, he can also become muhajir and migrant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. That the real muhajir, the real migrant, is that individual who leaves all those sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made prohibited upon him. He is the real muhajir. He is the real muhajir. This is the real hijrah, which all of us can make. From laziness to activeness. From the life of disobedience to the life of obedience. From the life of sin to the life of good actions. From the life of leaving the commands of Allah to the life of practicing the commands of Allah. Pushing away and shunning the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam towards the life of accepting and embracing the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This migration we can all make. Al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. This is the real muhajir, migration. Number two, akhirah. This ending of the year, beginning of the year, it reminds us of our final day. When we will have to leave this world, we have to think, my brothers, just as the year began one day and ended, your life also began one day, and your life will also end one day. This is why we see many, many people who come to this world and they leave. No one is here to stay forever and ever. If there was anyone who could have been given this privilege, it would have been Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very clearly and boldly makes an announcement in the Quran, which will be read until the last day by each and every single believer in the Quran, in the book of Allah. Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. That, O Prophet of Allah, O my beloved, you are so exalted in my eyes that there is no creation of mine that can be next to you, but you will have to leave this world as well. We see so many people, my brothers, around us who are fit, healthy. They have everything. They're young, but they leave. They leave all of a sudden. We also have to leave this world, my brothers. We also have to leave this world. Let us prepare for akhirah. Let us prepare for akhirah. The pious individuals are going from this world. Our great Sheikh, Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahmatan wasi'atan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower a lot of mercies upon his grave. He has done a tremendous work, but he also left this world. He also left this world. These people left this world successfully. And we know that they left successfully because the way they died and the way they left this world, this is a sign that these people were successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have to leave this world. The sun that rises each day, it reminds us that the sun has risen. After a few hours, the sun will set. This reminds us, oh, the servant of Allah, you came to this world after a few hours, after a few days, after a few weeks, after a few years, you will also set, you will also die. Subah hoti hai, sham hoti hai, umr yun hi tamam hoti hai. So this is the time when we can do something. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah says, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم من صحيح رأيت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. That oh the servant of Allah, do something when you are fit and healthy, because you never know what circumstances you go through in your life. It is possible that you may not be able to do any good deed in your life because you might become paralyzed. You might be suffering from such illness that your brain doesn't function anymore, that you can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, "Kam min sahihin ra'aytu min ghayri suqmin." I have seen plenty of people in my life who were fit and healthy, who had no illness in their life. Dhahabat nafsuhu sahihatu faltatan. But when their time came, Malakul Maut came and extracted their ruh from their body. We will also have to leave this world, akhirah. And last but not least, sacrifice. This year begins from the sacrifice of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the year ends with the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This reminds us of sacrifice. Go to Iqbal Foods and you will see many meat. Go to the meat section and you will see a lot of pieces of meat. It reminds you that, O servant, learn to give sacrifice. Learn to give sacrifice. Because I am sacrificing myself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So learn to give sacrifice. I do not have the time to go into much detail, but these are 3 points which I like to mention, that these are the 3 lessons we can derive from the event of Hijrah or the Islamic calendar, the beginning and the ending of the Islamic calendar. One is migration, second Akhirah, and number 3, giving sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi, Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.